So first I'd like to read the translation of this poem by Srila Rupa Goswami, the Radhika Stava. And so the chorus is as follows: O Radha, O beloved of Madhava, O you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokula, all glory is unto you, all glory is unto you. And the other verses are 1-3 is, O you who dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. O Queen of Vrindavan, which is the pleasure grove of Lord Hari. O new moon who is arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu. O friend of Lalita, O you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna. O you who are filled with compassion, O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Sanaka and Sanatana, O Radha, please be merciful to me. So, what I thought we'd do this morning for the classes, I would read about Srimati Radharani's appearance from a book, a play written by Srila Rupa Goswami called the Vidagdha Madhava. I hope that's all right. So you can hear his dramatic performance. Of course, I'm not going to read it in Sanskrit. I'm going to read it in English. But I don't think anyone here understands Sanskrit, so that's all right. So before reading this, I just wanted to give a brief understanding of who Srimati Radharani is. Of course, technically, she is the Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency. The spiritual energy is divided into three categories. Samvit is Sandini and Ladini. Samvit, that is the cognitive, that's a fancy word, the knowing potency, the knowledge potency of the Lord. And Sandini is the existential potency, that's another big word, that which maintains the spiritual world. And then Ladini, that is the pleasure potency of the Lord. So being the pleasure potency, in other words, her existence is dedicated to giving pleasure to Krishna. And she knows no one else but Krishna. Just like we find in the Shishastika, I know no one else but Krishna as my Lord. And he shall, he can crush me by his embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but he shall always remain my worshipful Lord in an unconditional way, as Lord Chaitanya prays in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So that is Srimati Radharani's mood, that she is simply focused on Krishna. She doesn't want to even see anyone else other than Krishna. So before she came to this world, she told Krishna that, really, I'm not so enthusiastic to go to this material world, excuse me, because I have to see so many rascals. And Krishna said, don't worry, you will see me first. So when Srimati Radharani first appeared in this world, she was blind and she couldn't see anything. And her parents, naturally, when you have a child who is blind, it causes great anxiety for the parents because that's a birth defect. And so the parents are thinking, Vrishabhanu and Kirtita were thinking, what should we do? And Narada Muni appeared and said, you should have her name-giving ceremony. This was, of course, in the place known as Ravel. Ravel is the place where Radharani appeared, according to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Of course, in the Vallabhacharya sect, they have a different opinion about where Radharani appeared. They say that Radharani appeared in Barshana. And if you go to Barshana, they'll tell you Radharani appeared there. And so, of course, we can say spiritually she's always appearing there too. That is her eternal place. So we don't want to get in an argument with the followers of Sri Vallabhacharya. However, according to the Goswamis of Vrindavan, she appeared in Ravel, and she was blind, and they had the name-giving ceremony, the birth ceremony for Srimati Radharani. And they invited Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, and of course they brought along little baby Krishna at the same time. Because Krishna, they were living in that same place, Gokul. And so they were able to come. Actually, in the pastimes of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, there were several moves made. First of all, there was Krishna in Gokul, and there was Radharani in Rabal, and then they moved to Vrindavan, and then they moved to Nandagram and Barshana. You understand? Because they were trying to escape the demons. But fortunately, the demons kept coming no matter where they moved to. But that was Krishna's pastimes. However, when they held the birth ceremony of Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, they crawled near each other. Some people describe it was on the lap of either Mother Yashoda or Kirtida. And when Srimati Radharani smelled it was Krishna, the fragrance of Krishna, she opened her eyes for the first time. Because she did not want to see anyone else but Krishna, or at least she wanted to see Krishna first. That's how much love she had for Krishna. And so, as I said, she's completely dedicated to serving and pleasing Krishna. So sometimes, as I mentioned last night to some of the devotees, people make a statement to me. They say, well, I love Radharani more than Krishna. This is not the right philosophical understanding, because if you love Radharani, Radharani is loving Krishna. And if you love Krishna, Krishna is loving Radharani. You can't separate it. If you try to separate it, that is improper understanding, improper philosophical, emotional, mental understanding. So now we'll read from Srila Rupa Goswami's Vidagdha Madhava. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it, and Srila Prabhupada recommends it to us. This is from the first scene of the Vidagdha Madhava, and the different personalities. Actually, I'll mention them as we go along. The first one, of course, is Purnamasi. Purnamasi is the yoga maya potency of the Lord. And she appears in various ways, arranging for Krishna's pastime. She's also the mother of Sandapani Muni and the grandmother of Madhu Mango. And she sent Madhu Mango to always be with Krishna. Madhu Mango is Krishna's funny Brahmin friend. And he's very, very hungry all the time, always asking for ladus. And he says to Krishna sometimes, if you give me more ladus, I will go to Radharani and make everything nice with her. I will recommend something. I will bless you. So you can get Madhu Mangal's blessings very easily by giving him ladus. It's not a difficult procedure. And sometimes he is eating thousands of ladus. So you have Purnamasi here, and other personalities, like Gargi, who is the daughter of Gargamuni. That's the second personality here. So let's read. So it starts off. Purnamasi is talking to Gargi, and she says, "Child Gargi, listen. As we drink the nectar of the overflowing celestial Ganges of Radha's moonlight smile, touching the wave-filled Jamuna of Krishna's sidelong glance." Oops. Notice how poetic this is. "At the Triveni of their rendezvous." Rendezvous is where they get together. "A flood of pleasant coolness licks away our sufferings and pleases our hearts. Crossing over the seven worlds, now we stand above them all." And Gargi says, "O noble lady, you yourself arranged Radha's marriage with Abhimanyu. Why would she desire to meet with Krishna?" Purnamasi explains, "Daughter, this marriage..." Can everyone understand, or is it too much echo in here? It's too much echo, I think. Is there a way to diminish the echo? Like turning down the bass and turning up the treble? Because it's a lot of echo. It's hard to... At least those in the back, it's harder to understand. And this is, it's very important to be able to understand each word in this narration. So Purnamasi says, "Daughter, this marriage is an illusion of Maya. How could the Vaijayanti garland of Sri Radha, which was strung with Brahma's sweet nectar and Mount Vidya's austerity flowers, be placed in the hands of an ordinary man? And this, the word in Sanskrit is pratajanaha, which means someone other than Krishna, or an ordinary personality. And Gargi asks, what is this sweet nectar? So Purnamasi answers, it is Brahma's words, O Mount Vindhya. Is it better if I keep the microphone away? It is Brahma's words, O Mount Vindhya, to fulfill your desire that you will have two daughters that will give you a son-in-law who will defeat Lord Shiva and whose virtues will fill the world with wonder. So in other words, Mount Vindhya, Vindhya in one sense is like the father of Srimati Radharani. And that's explained further on here. And Gargi asks, why did Mount Vindhya desire a daughter and not a son? And Purnamasi answers, he had become the rival of King Himalaya, who was the father of Gauri, and is very proud of the opulence of his son-in-law, Shiva. So even you have like envy between mountains. It's interesting, isn't it? Vindhya and the Himalaya mountains. And the Himalayas, you know, they gave birth to Gauri. And she's married to Shiva, and then Vindhya is thinking, I got to do better than this. So Gargi said, he could not tolerate the glory of his own family. In ancient times, he tried to defeat Mount Meru. He could not rise again after he bowed down to offer respects to Agastya Muni. So there's an interesting story about this, that Mount Vindhya, who is also envious of Mount Meru. So he became taller and taller and taller and taller. And Agastya Muni thought, you know, I got to cut him down to size. So Agastya Muni visited him, and Mount Vindhya offered obeisances. And Agastya Muni said, don't get up again until I come back. And he never came back. So in this way, Mount Vindhya's pride became humbled. So interesting. Rupa Goswami, if you could read in the original Sanskrit, hear the original Sanskrit, it's so beautiful. Rupa Goswami is very expert. There's a whole presentation I do about Rupa Goswami, how he writes some poetry so he reads the same way backwards and forwards. And inside and out, and sometimes the poetry makes a chakra formation. I'd have to show you this. I mean, it's really amazing. If we have sometime, it's about an hour and a half presentation I have on Rupa Goswami's poetry, with slides, of course, showing how it forms chakras, wheels, all sorts of interesting things. And it's in glorification of Radha and Krishna. And then Gargi asks, how did Radha go from Mount Vindhya to Gokul? Purnamasi answers, she was taken by Hutana, the kidnapper of children. And Gargi asks, witches that steal children generally eat their victims. This girl is very fortunate to be saved. So this is a very interesting story about Kamsa's orders. Purnamasi says, O daughter, Kamsa ordered her to kill any extraordinary small boys and kidnap any small girls. Gargi asks, why did the king, that's Kamsa, ask her to do these two things? Purnamasi answers, he was pushed by the words of Devaki's demigoddess daughter. Of course, that was Durga. And when Kamsa attempted to kill Durga, then she flew in the air. She had eight arms. And she said, the person who was meant to kill you was born or appeared elsewhere. And so Kamsa also got angry at women, too, because there was Durga, and then also he wanted to kill Krishna. And Gargi asks, what were those words? Purnamasi answers, she, referring to Durga, said to Kamsa, the same person who in your previous birth severed your head with a chakra raised in battle. The same person. Who the sages know is he whose two lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods, the same person who pleases his loving devotees by showering them with oceans of the nectar of bliss, the same person who is the root from which the universe has sprouted, has now appeared in this world at the time of the moon's rising. So this is actually more elaboration on what Durga said, Tecumseh. It's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, normally we just hear two or three sentences, but this is actually the whole thing. And here's another thing she said, Durga said. Today or the day after, eight sublimely sweet sakis will appear in this world, on this earth. Two sisters who are like great palaces of beautiful transcendental qualities will also appear. When he defeats Shiva, Lord Krishna, the King of Kings, will accept the hand of both these girls in marriage. Talking about Rukmini and Satyabhama, who in essence are expansions of Chandravali and Srimati Radha Rani. Is everyone following this so far? I'm trying to go slow. And Gargi asks, what happened to the second sister? Purnamasi answers, when Vindhya's chief priest chanted a demon-killing mantra, Putana's heart became struck with fear as she was hastily flying over Vidarbha province. That's where Rukmini was born. The first of her victims dropped from her and fell into a river's current. Gargi says, my father, Sandapani Muni, oh, actually, she's Sandapani Muni's daughter, too. Oh, that's interesting. Is omniscient. Why then has he said that as a result of a benediction granted by Durvasa Muni, Srimati Radharani appeared from King Vrishabhanu's chest? So you have that other description too, that Srimati Radharani appeared from the chest of King Vrishabhanu. So the reconciliation, or how to understand both these things are true, is going to be described to you. Purnamasi said, requested by Brahma, Lord Hari's Yogamaya potency removed these two infant girls from the wombs of the wives of Chandrabhanu and Rishabhanu and placed them in the womb of Vindhya's wife. In other words, Radharani and Chandravali were originally in the wombs of their respective mothers, like Kirtida. And then they were actually taken out. There was like an embryo transplant into the womb of Vindhya, Mount Vindhya's wife. Everyone follows that? Gargi asked with astonishment, did the two fathers know what had happened? Purnamasi answers, certainly they understood. Why would Durvasa Muni not help them? And Gargi asks, how do you know all about this? Purnamasi answers, I learned this by the mercy of my spiritual master's instructions. Who's the spiritual master of Purnamasi? Narada Muni. Which have also made me attached to Radharani. Gargi asks, is it true that when the witch Putana was killed, you took Radharani from her lap? Purnamasi says, I took not only Radha, but five other girls also. In other words, Putana was killed by Krishna, but she also had like six girls with her too at the same time. And Purnamasi took those girls away. And Gargi asks, who were they? Purnamasi answers, they were, one, Radha's moon-faced friend Lalita, two, Chandravali's beautiful friend Padma, Bhadra, who acts auspiciously, three, auspicious Saivya, and five, splendid and cheerful Shama. Gargi asks, how were these girls placed among the gopis? Purnamasi answers, swiftly and secretly I gave these five infant girls to five gopis in different parts of Vrindavan. In a secret place, I happily gave virtuous Radha to Yashoda's nurse, Mukhara, and said, O elderly one, here is your son-in-law, Rishabhanu's daughter. Gargi says, this must be the way Radha's second close friend, Vishaka, appeared in Gokul. But it's not. Purnamasi says, no, Jatila found her floating in the Yamuna. So that's how Vishakha appeared. Gargi said, I did not know that. Who found the Vinja's first daughter as she was floating in the river's current? And Purnamasi answers, Bhishmaka. And of course, that's the father of Rukmini, who later married Krishna. And Gargi says, alas, the cruelty of fate who has separated these two sisters. Purnamasi says, my daughter, fate then reunited them. In this way, fate's mercy can be seen. And Gargi asks, how did that happen? Purnamasi answers, Chandrabali was the granddaughter of Karala, Jambavan, who lived in the caves of the Govardhan Hill and the Vindhya Hills, kidnapped the five-year-old Chandrabali and forcibly took her from Kundina city. He did this on the orders of the goddess Durga, who was staying in the Vindhya Hills. So it's very interesting that Chandrabali, it's very interesting, was originally, she is the daughter of Bhishmaka, and Jambavan originally was living in Govardhan Hill. Think about it. I'm just going over it because it may not be so clear. And anyway, he brought her to Vindhya Hill. And then she was brought to Vrindavan after that. Gargi said, I have heard from my father's mouth that although the gopis headed by Chandrabanu's daughter, Chandrabali, and the Dwarka queens headed by Bhishmaka's daughter, Rukmini, are expansions of the same spiritual form. Nevertheless, their forms are separate and distinct. Now it is said that with the aid of the Yogamaya potency, each gopi is identical with a specific queen, and each pair of gopi and queen is a single person in a single form. It must be so. Later I shall perhaps understand it. What can I understand now of these confidential matters? It is not that the Yogamaya potency forcibly prevented the marriage of Govardhan and the other gopas with Chandrabali and the other gopis. So, just a little philosophy here. In the Lalita Madhava, there is an elaborate description about how the gopis are the same as the queens in Dwarka. Elaborate description of how the gopis were actually transported to Dwarka. And of course, when the gopis leave Vrindavan, of course, the gopis never leave Vrindavan, like Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But when it appears they leave in Vrindavan, they expand themselves. When Krishna appears to leave Vrindavan, he is Vasudev Krishna. He is not Nandanandana anymore. He's Vasudev Krishna. Does everyone understand that? So he doesn't have the same intimate exchanges that he had in Vrindavan. So in the same way with the gopis, when they appear to leave Vrindavan, they expand. And that's Rukmini, Chandrabali, Jambavati, and all the other personalities who are the wives of Krishna in Dwarka. So now there's going to be an explanation about the marriages between the gopis and their so-called husbands. Purnamasi says, yes, the gopas, that means the elderly men who married the gopis, or the men, the gopas simply thought these wives, these girls, were their wives. In fact, they never even saw each other. It's interesting, isn't it? Someone gets married, they never see their wife. And so that was because their wives actually belonged to Krishna. So Krishna arranged, it was just an illusory marriage. Gargi said, then it is not at all surprising that these eight girls have such deep love for Krishna. Purnamasi says, what to speak of these eight girls? What doe-eyed girl? You know what a doe-eyed girl is? Let me explain what it is. Like a doe is a female deer, a little baby female deer. They look so cute. Anyone see the deer here? A picture of a deer? Push around that. Isn't it? They look so cute. Even, did you know something? Even baby calves, they look like little deer when they're first born. And so the doe-eyed is like a beautiful expression for a young girl. She looks very doe-eyed and innocent. People get older, they get wrinkled eyes, but that's different. What doe-eyed girl in Gokul did not love Sri Krishna? Gargi says, you say the truth. More than 16,100 girls in Gokul are now deeply in love with Lord Krishna. Five gopis headed by Chandravali regularly meet together and worship the goddess Durga, chanting the mantra, O Kachiani Durga, O Mahamaya, illusory potency, O mystic yogini, O queen of this world, O goddess, please make Nanda Gopa's son Krishna my husband. I offer my respectful obeisances to you. So that's how the devotees should worship Durga. You understand? Please make Nanda Maharaja's son my husband. Purnamasi said, Garga Muni told the gopis, Goddess Durga is named Kama because she is the personification of the fulfillment of desires. When young girls worship her, she naturally chants or grants their requests. O pious one, because of this advice from Garga Muni, the doe-eyed girls of Braj now worship Goddess Durga. And Gargi asked, who engaged Radha in worshiping the sun god? And Purnamasi answers, your father, Sandapani Muni. Gargi says, O noble lady, I have heard from my father's mouth that the association of these girls with their affectionate lover, Krishna, eventually leads to separation from him. Purnamasi answers, girl, child, he tells the truth. Both he and I have arranged that Abhimanyu's mother, Jatila, and Govardhan's mother, Varunda, again and again place obstacles in the way of Radharani and Chandravali, these two crest jewels of adolescent girls. So in other words, to spice up the relationship of Radha and Krishna, Purnamasi is arranging for Jatila and also Kutila, who is Srimati Radharani's sister-in-law, to place and Varunda, who is Chandravali's mother, mother-in-law, to arrange sort of obstacles, to be suspicious, to be angry, just to spice up the relationship. So Gargi says, why do you not bring the two sisters together? Purnamasi says, I'm afraid of wicked Kamsa's followers who are always roaming about. Gargi asks, does anyone else know of this unusual incident? Purnamasi answers, no one. I have told only Krishna's mother, Yashoda, and Balaram's mother, Rohini. Only they know. So, then there's a voice from behind the scenes, because this is a play. And the voice from behind the scenes says, Padma, get up from bed. Bhadra, stop making this crown of peacock feathers. Shyama, stop stringing this flower garland. Lalita, don't crush this kumkum into powder. Vishaka, stop teaching the parrot to recite poetry. Shaibya, stop braiding your hair. The dust raised by the hooves of the Surabhi cows has now entered the horizon. That means Krishna is coming. He's coming back from the pasture. Purnamasi says, look, look. The dust from cows and calves on the road creates a kind of darkness indicating that Krishna is returning home from the pasture. Also, the darkness of evening provokes the gopis to meet Krishna. Thus, the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis are covered by a kind of transcendental darkness and are therefore impossible for ordinary scholars of the Vedas to see. This next verse is a very famous verse. May the sweet sound of Lord Krishna's flute, his authorized messenger, be glorified, for it expertly releases Srimati Radharani from her shyness and attracts her from her home to the forest. And of course, there's that interesting story told also by Rupa Goswami, how Srimati Radharani was so upset with Krishna's flute that she was always making plans to steal Krishna's flute. And so one time, when Krishna wasn't looking, she just grabbed it from his belt and took it. And Krishna said, "You've taken my flute." And then she passed it to some of her girlfriends and said, "Look, look, I'm not taking your flute." And it passed back and forth. And eventually, Jatila came, who was Radharani's so-called mother-in-law, and saw the flute and took it away. And then Vrinda, who was in charge of the Vrindavan forest, arranging for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, called for her monkey servant, Kukati, an old female monkey, and said, "You've got to get that flute back." And so she sent Kukati into Jatila's house. And Kukati was tearing apart the house. Jatila didn't know what to do. She was throwing everything she could find at Kukati. Finally, the only thing she had to throw was the flute. And she threw the flute, and the Kukati made like big face at Jatila, took the flute, ran, and gave it back to Krishna. That's nice. So then the next verse here describes the ecstasy the gopis experience when they hear Krishna's coming. They don't even pay attention to their own addressing. A voice from behind the scenes says, "Danya, you haven't decorated your left eye with mascara." In other words, she's just put it on the right eye. That looks funny. "Padma, you placed your armlets on your ankles." Because they were so much averse in experiencing the purva rag, which means Krishna is coming. All right. "Sarangi, you place tinkling bells only on one ankle. Pali, your belt is already beginning to slip. Labangi, you put tilak markings that are meant for your forehead on your cheek." You know, imagine how much love for Krishna they had. You know, we put tilak up here and said, you know, "Krishna's coming." You put it on your cheek. That's the love that the gopis had for Krishna. "Kamala, you put the red lac, which is meant for the bottom of the feet, on your eyes." You know, the red that the ladies put on their feet. And then they put it on their eyes, like around. This is the symptoms of ecstasy. "Don't run outside so quickly. Krishna's sweetly sounding flute is still far away." Gargi said, "Lord Krishna is as splendid as the darkened evening sky. He is like a moon shining in Vrindavan, surrounded by the stars of the gopas and the splendid white moonlight of the cows." Purnamasi, with intense happiness, says, "The dark luster of Krishna's body is charming. He holds a stick to his hand, and his splendid hips are wrapped in a yellow silk dhoti. The great flood of his transcendental beauty rebukes the blue lotus flower. Enjoying pastimes with the gopis, he appears like a transformation of the opulence of transcendental love. Let us go to Yashoda Devi." And this is the end of the first part of Act 1, and everybody exits. In the future, it would be nice to have devotees actually enact these different pastimes, these plays, wouldn't it? Of course, it requires pure devotees, and we don't have too many of them right now. So you have to wait. Especially as far as the Lita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, these should be done by pure devotees. I mean, you can do other plays like Liquid Beauty, right? Or Boatman plays, something like that. But these intimate plays of Radharani basically should only be done and seen by pure devotees. Prabhupada also said, only on Srimati Radharani's appearance day can the feet of Srimati Radharani be visible to the devotees. So it's very intimate, and talks about Radharani and the intimate exchange between love and between Radharani and Krishna were only had during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time between Lord Chaitanya and 3.5 people. Lord Chaitanya did not discuss these things openly. And somehow, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're discussing it a little bit more openly. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, only with his most intimate associates, talked about this. Generally, just talk Bhagavad Gita philosophy, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, take prasadam, see Lord Jagannath. But as far as the Radha Krishna, especially the separation, Vipralamba Seva talks, was not done publicly. Unfortunately, now there's been a little bit of an influx of sahajaism in our movement, where devotees start to talk about these things, even on the internet and openly with everybody, and people who are not even aware of what's in the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, we should study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And another book I highly recommend, or a series of books, are the books about Srila Prabhupada, like Prabhupada Lilamrita. And one book I'd like everyone to read is The Servant of a Servant by Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Because you can really understand what a devotee is by hearing about a devotee. Hearing about a devotee who's right here on earth, then you really understand what it means to be a devotee. So I don't know if we have a lot of copies of these books, but these books should be distributed to everybody. So now, before we greet the deities, because the deities are going to be greeted, I guess, a little later, I'd like to read some quotes from the Nectar of Devotion, written by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, which is a commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also by Srila Rupa Goswami. And these quotes are dealing with Radharani. And some of these quotes are dealing with Radharani's ecstasy and love of Krishna, or Radharani's mood of service. So I've taken quotes, taken excerpts out of the Nectar of Devotion where Srimati Radharani is mentioned. So we'll read from this. In the same Krishna Karnamrita, there is another statement about the chanting of Radharani. It is said by one of the associates of Srimati Radharani, "O Lord of Govinda, the girl who is the daughter of Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears. She is anxiously chanting your holy name, Krishna, Krishna." Was that? Yugayatam Nimishena Chakshusha Parvishayatam Shunyayatam Jagatsavam Govinda Vivahename. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like eternity. And tears are coming from my eyes like torrents of rain. So all these different statements about Srimati Radharani can be equated with different Shikshashtika verses. In fact, I was thinking, today's midday class, I want to be more philosophical because we have the general public. And I want to talk about Radharani's mood in terms of the Shikshashtika verses and how the Shikshashtika verses relate to different stages in devotional service. The stage Ado, Shraddha, etc. Anyway. So here's another quote from the Nectar of Devotion. "Noble, generous, learned, intelligent, fair complexion, 50-year-old King Vrishabhanu wears a neatly clipped beard. He is the close friend of Nanda, the king of Braj. To him, Sri Radha is even dearer than his eldest child, Sridhar. I constantly worship famous Vrishabhanu." This is from the Brajastava Vilas. Very nice. And of course, Sridhar is the older brother of Srimati Radharani. And he is also helping with the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. There was an interesting statement someone made sent to me the other day. They said that Radha and Krishna's pastimes are not for everybody, and even in the liberated stage, they said, but they are for everybody in the liberated stage because all the residents of Vrindavan are assisting in Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs, whether they're birds, whether they're cows, whether they're cowherd boys. The cowherd boys are messengers. Madhu Mangal is certainly assisting in this affair. "Although for her own happiness, she yearns to place Lord Krishna's handsome and delicate lotus feet on her breast, Srimati Radharani is reluctant to do so, fearing that, even though her body is very delicate, her breasts are very hard. I pray that Lord Krishna, who also places his lotus feet on the hood of Ananta Shesh, will permit me to reside in his land of Braj." That's also from the Braja Vilas Stava by Srila Rupa Goswami. "A person is called a genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there's a statement in the Pajavali which contains the following conversation between Radha and Krishna. One morning, when Krishna came to Radharani, Radharani asked him, 'My dear Keshava, where's your vas at present?' The Sanskrit word vas has three meanings. One meaning is resonance, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, where is your dress? But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Srimati Radharani, my dear captivated one, at the present moment, my residence is in your beautiful eyes. To this, Radharani replied, my dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress. Krishna then took the meaning of vas as fragrance, and he said, my dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body. Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, where did you pass your night? In other words, Krishna was probably with Chandrabali. Then Krishna answered, of course, let me explain. The Sanskrit word used in this connection is yaminya munital. Yaminya means at night, and muchital means to pass. Krishna, however, divided the word into two separate words, namely yaminya and munital. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani. In other words, Radharani was trying to find out where Krishna spent his night, because she was getting jealous. My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me? In this way, he was answering all the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened the dearest of the gopis. Another characteristic of Srimati Radharani. This is a characteristic of Krishna, but it's a description of Radharani. One who can talk and dress himself very artistically is called Vidagdha. This exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Sri Krishna. It is spoken of by Srimati Radharani as follows. My dear friend, just see how Krishna has nicely composed songs and how he dances and speaks funny words and plays on his flute. Wearing such nice garlands, he has dressed himself in such an enchanting way as though he had defeated all kinds of players at the chessboard. He lives wonderfully at the topmost height of artistic craftsmanship. Another quality of Krishna is called Dhira Lalita. A person is called Dhira Lalita if he is naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. Such a Dhira Lalita personality is generally found to be domesticated and very submissive to his lover. This Dhira Lalita trait in the personality of Krishna is described by the Yajna Patni, one of the wives of the Brahmanas who were performing sacrifices in Vrindavan. She tells her friends, one day, Srimati Radharani, accompanied by her associates, was taking rest in her garden. And at that time, Lord Sri Krishna arrived in that assembly. After sitting down, he began to narrate very impudently. Impudently means very proudly, without caring for others. You know, impudent. About his previous night's pastimes with Radharani. While he was speaking in that way, Radharani became very embarrassed. She was feeling ashamed and was absorbed in thought. And Krishna took the opportunity to mark her breasts with different kinds of tilak. Krishna proved himself expert in that art. In this way, Krishna, as Dhira Lalita, was enjoying his youthful pastimes in the company of the gopis. So this is a symptom of ecstasy called rolling on the ground. It's one of the Vyabhachari Bhavas. One gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her separation from him and because of her enchantment with the aroma of his flower garland, was rolling on the ground and therefore bruising her soft body. Another symptom of ecstasy, this is another bhava, is singing loudly. One gopi informed Krishna that when Srimati Radharani was singing about his glories, She enchanted all of her friends in such a way that they became stone-like and dull. At the same time, the nearby stones began to melt away in ecstatic love. Yawning. That's another symptom of ecstasy. It's one of the Astasattva Bhavas. It is said that when the full moon rises, the lotus petals become expanded. Similarly, when Krishna used to appear before Radharani, her face, which is compared to the lotus flower, would expand by her yawning. So when Krishna came before, she would... But it wasn't because she was tired. It was because it's a symptom of ecstasy. Another symptom of ecstasy is called belching. Sometimes belching also becomes a symptom of ecstatic love for Krishna. There is evidence of this in Purnamasi's address to one crying associate of Srimati Radharani. She says, "My dear daughter, don't be worried because Srimati Radharani is belching. I am about to offer a remedial measure for this symptom. Do not cry so loudly. This belching is not due to indigestion. It is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I shall arrange to cure this belching symptom immediately. Don't be worried." This statement by Purnamasi is evidence that ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes manifested through belching. Another symptom of ecstatic love is trembling. When Krishna was trying to capture the demon Shankachuda, Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similarly, trembling of the body was exhibited in Sahadev. Trembling of the body was also exhibited by Radharani out of tribulation. Radharani trembled as she told one of the gopis, "Don't joke with this disappointing boy. Please ask him not to approach me because he is always the cause of grief for all of us." Another statement by Srimati Radharani, she addresses one of her friends. She says, "My dear friend, if I cannot hear of the glorious activities of Krishna, it is better for me to be deaf. And because I am now unable to see him, it would be good for me to be a blind woman." This is another instance of disappointment due to separation from Krishna. And another symptom of ecstasy is called guilt. When a person blames himself for committing an inappropriate action, his feeling is called guilt. One day, Srimati Radharani was churning yogurt for Krishna. At that time, the jeweled bangles on her hands were circling around, and she was also chanting Krishna's name, Hare Krishna. All of a sudden, she thought, "I am chanting the holy name of Krishna. And if my superiors, my mother-in-law, or my sister-in-law may hear me," this thought made Radharani very anxious. This is an instance of feeling guilty because of devotion to Krishna. Sometimes people experience that even today. Let's say someone marries someone who's not a devotee and they're chanting very softly not to disturb the other person. Isn't it? And they're feeling very guilty. "Oh, if my husband sees me chanting, he'll get very angry." I've seen that happen. One day, the beautiful-eyed Srimati Radharani entered into the forest to collect some flowers to prepare a garland for Krishna. While collecting the flowers, she became afraid that someone might see her, and she felt some fatigue and weakness. This is an instance of guilty feelings caused by labor for Krishna. Another story I can tell, it's not here in the Nectar Devotion. One day, Radharani was... many flower stories. Radharani was collecting flowers for Krishna, and Krishna just appeared like Vanamali. He appeared like the proprietor of the garden. He said, "Why are you picking these flowers? These flowers are mine." And he tried to tax her. Another time, she was picking flowers from a tree, and Krishna was up in the tree, holding the branches down. She didn't see that, and so she was picking from the branch. She was holding onto the branch, and Krishna jumped down from the tree. And because she was holding on to the branch, she flew in the air. And Krishna said, "I'll catch you." So, one or two more. There's a statement in the Rasa Sudhakara that after passing the night with Krishna, these are all quotes from Nectar Devotion. I advise you all to read Nectar Devotion. Oh, after the passing the night with Krishna, Radharani became so weak that she was unable to get up from bed. When Krishna took her hand to help her, Radharani felt guilty about having passed the night with him. There's another description of the symptoms of intoxication in the person of Srimati Radharani after she saw Krishna. Sometimes she was walking hither and thither, sometimes she was laughing, sometimes she was covering her face, sometimes she was talking without any meaning, and sometimes she was praying to her associate gopis. Seeing these symptoms in Srimati Radharani, the gopis began to talk among themselves. Just see how Radharani has become intoxicated simply by seeing Krishna before her. This is an instance of ecstatic love and intoxication. Also, not mentioned here, but also mentioned in, I think it's Raghunath Das Goswami's literature, Raghunath or Rupa Goswami, how that sometimes the gopis and Krishna, they would drink honey wine. They would be passing the bottles out between them, just like you have in this material world. You have intoxication, and sometimes the guy was so intoxicated the glass would be full, and they'd pour more into it, and it would pour all over the place. Or sometimes they would have the glass upside down, and they would pour the honey wine into it, and it would go all over the place. Actually, something like that happened with, not with the wine, but with Prabhupada's water one time. A devotee didn't know about fancy glasses. You know, Prabhupada had a very fancy crystal glass, and sometimes it appears the bottom is the top is the bottom. So he poured into the bottom part, you know, he had the glass upside down, and the water went all over Prabhupada's desk. So sometimes the gopis and Krishna, they're drinking this honey wine. And there's elaborate descriptions of how they're dancing and drinking the honey wine, intoxicated, their eyes are rolling. And so in the spiritual world, you actually even have that, getting drunk. Everything that's here is also there. But in its purest form, even Balaram is getting drunk sometimes. He's drinking the Varuni beverage. So here's an instance of pride. Sometimes Radharani felt pride within herself and said, although the coward boys prepare nice flower garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it on his heart. Srila Bilvamangal Thakur prays in his Krishna Karnamrita as follows. Let Srimati Radharani purify the whole world because she has surrendered herself completely unto Krishna. Out of her ecstatic love for him, she sometimes acted like an addled, that means like a crazy person, and attempted to churn yogurt, although there was no yogurt in the pot. That's another symptom of ecstasy. There was no yogurt or milk or anything in the pot, and she was just going like that. And then after seeing this, Krishna became so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull instead of a cow. It's a little dangerous, isn't it? I don't even know how you do that. These are some instances of insanity or madness in love, connection with the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. So you have craziness there, you have intoxication in the spiritual world, you have people running around with someone else's wife in the spiritual world. The highest thing in the spiritual world is the lowest thing in this world. It's like in a reflection. Like when you have a banyan tree, which Krishna describes in the 15th chapter of the Gita, reflected on the banks of a river or a lake, the highest part of the tree becomes the lowest part of the reflection, and vice versa. You know, in other words, the roots are up and the branches are down. This is Krishna's direct description. So whatever is the highest, nicest thing in the spiritual world is the most disgusting thing in the material world. You understand? So try to remember that. So confusion. We're going to greet the deities pretty soon. We're 15 minutes late already. Someone can check on it. I mean, I have a lot more quotes. I can go on for 2 hours, but I'm sure we have to meet the schedule today. Confusion. There is the following statement in the Hansa Dutta. One day, Srimati Radharani was feeling so much separation, affliction because of separation from Krishna. She went to the bank of the Yamuna with some of her friends. There, Radharani saw a cottage wherein she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures. And by remembering those incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible. This is an instance of confusion caused by separation. So this part of the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is a description of different ecstatic symptoms. Confusion. There is the following statement in the Hansa Dutta. One day when Srimati Radharani was feeling much separation because of her, because of her separation from Krishna, she went to the bank of the Yamuna with some friends. There, Srimati Radharani saw a cottage wherein she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures, and by remembering those incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible. This is an instance of confusion caused by separation. On another occasion, when Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna was involved with another woman, she addressed her friend in this manner. My dear friend, as soon as I think of Krishna, the coward boy attached to some other woman, I become stricken with fear and the hairs of my body stand up. I must be very careful that Krishna not see me at such times. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness and diplomatic behavior. It has been stated, although Srimati Radharani developed a deep loving affection for Krishna, she hid her attitude in the core of her heart so that others could not detect her actual condition. There are many symptoms of ecstatic love caused by remembering Krishna. For example, one friend of Krishna informed him, "My dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, the lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you. And simply by observing this cloud, she became lusty for your association." This is an instance of remembering Krishna in ecstatic love because of seeing something resembling him. Krishna's bodily complexion is very similar to the bluish hue of a cloud. So simply by observing a bluish cloud, Srimati Radharani remembered him. I think next one will be the last one I read. Next one is called envy. In the Pajabali, one of the friends of Radharani once addressed her thus, "My dear friend, please do not be too puffed up because Krishna has decorated your forehead with his own hand. It may be that Krishna is yet attracted by some other beautiful girl. I see that the decoration on your forehead is very nicely made, and so it appears that Krishna is not too disturbed in painting it. Otherwise, he could not have painted such exact lines." This is an instance of envy caused by Radharani's good fortune. So end the reading here. So any questions or comments before we greet the deities? Okay. Any questions or comments? Just remember that we are meant to be servants of Radharani and servants of Krishna, obviously. And we pray every day for Radharani's mercy when we're chanting the Lord's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. O Radharani, O energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please engage me in Krishna's service. Let me become his unalloyed servant. This is how we should chant the holy names. So the way we worship Radharani is by serving Radharani's dear devotees. And of course, that's his divine grace to the Prabhupada and other pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, we're supposed to become Gopi Bharata Padakamala Dasa 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 Anudasa. So in the same way that we say, or Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So if we're a devotee of Srimati Radharani, we're actually Srimati Radharani's devotee. We should not prematurely try to jump up to understanding Srimati Radharani and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, We are worshipping the deities of Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. That is, in the mood of opulence. The Vrajavasis, they worship Radharani and Krishna in a spontaneous mood. Not in the mood of Vaidhi, but in the mood of Raga Nuga. But we should be worshipping Krishna in the mood of Vaidhi. Vaidhi means everything's punctual, everything's done very, very nicely. Personalities like Sanatana Goswami, he was worshipping Krishna in Raga Nuga, or at Krishna Prema, but in spontaneous devotion. Therefore, he was able to keep the deity of Madan Mohan in a tree, hanging from a tree. And he was able to offer Madan Mohan some dried bread balls every day. And he was able to argue with the deity. When the deity wanted something else, he told the deity no. When Madan Mohan said, "Some salt with my bread balls, please." And he said, "I'm a sannyasi. I have so much service to do for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you want salt, you get the salt yourself." And plus now, Prabhupada told this in a very joking way, Prabhupada said, "Now you're asking for salt, then you'll be asking for butter, then you'll be asking for kachoris. Yeah, your desires are unlimited. So you'll have to arrange for your own service." And so Madan Mohan arranged for his own service because of that salt barge that was stopped, and then he arranged for his own temple to be constructed. So we cannot approach the deity. Or like another story would be Raghunandana, who is holding a stick threatening the deity. He was Mukunda's son. He was saying, "Eat, eat." And the deity actually got down and ate. And ate everything on his plate. So we should not approach Krishna like that. So Prabhupada said, if we try to jump too quickly to the higher understanding, we think we have a higher understanding, we will be like trying to imitate Hanuman. And he would often repeat this Bengali saying, "A big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on jumping, melancholy." What that means is that we may think we are like Hanuman, or like the residents of Vrindavan, to make the metaphor complete. But if we try to jump to Ceylon at Sri Lanka, we will become melancholy. Melancholy means depressed. If you say someone is melancholy, that's depressed. And because we will fall flat on our face. You understand? So therefore, we have to be very careful. I mean, see, sometimes devotees, they just go into these ecstatic kirtans, Radhe, 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 Radhe. I was in one place in Europe, with Serbia, where I was kept awake all night by all the ladies chanting, "Radhe, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe." You know, they were in the room next to me. "Radhe, Radhe, oh, Radhe." That is for pure devotees. What does Prabhupada say? Work now, samadhi later. You know, you work hard for Krishna, then Prabhupada is pleased. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, anagati katopi. Okay, on that note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimati Radha Rani ki jai. Radha Gopi Hari ki jai.